Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to another fresh episode of the Afterthought Podcast. I'm your man, Joe Hill. Shout out to my squad, JP, Tiff Tonto. They're going to be joining us back real soon. What's going on, y'all? I want to check back in. Post-Thanksgiving vibes. You know, last time I spoke to y'all, it was pre-Thanksgiving week, and we were gearing up for our families and friends. And let me just tell y'all, we threw down at my crib. It went down. It was good to see family, you know, folks getting together. Everybody's good. You know, it was a crazy week, you know, planning and getting everything situated. But it came out well, man. I was actually in the kitchen this Thanksgiving. That's right. I came off the bench. You know, I was on the bench last year, and I just saw the way things was looking. And I said, you know what? It's time. I threw up the bat signal, and I got my ass back into the kitchen. It was cool, man, you know. Got to hang out, you know. And we had the works. We had all the fixings, you know. We had the mac and cheese, the collard greens. The turkey was on point. Sweet potato, you know, sweet potato yams, you know. We had the mashed potatoes with the gravy. We had other options too at my crib. We had the lamb option. Yeah, we had the lamb in the slow cooker, you know. We also had codfish, seasoned fish with roasted veggies, corn. I mean, it goes on and on, man. And of course, the desserts were massive. The pies, the tarts, this, the that. It was cool. Surprisingly, I only had two plates. I don't know how people do it. Anybody eating 3 and 4 plates from the time they start to the end of the evening, you're a psychopath. I don't know how you do it. Shout outs to you. I'm not at that age where my stomach allows that. I had that first plate, and I had to be careful because it almost knocked me out for the whole evening. So I took a little break, sat on the couch, watched some of the games. It was NFL games on. So that was cool. And then I came back to that second plate. And let me tell you something. You got to be careful with the second plate because sometimes, you know, you've been sitting on the bench and, you know, you got to warm back up again and you don't realize that you just had a monster plate. So the second plate, you got to be careful. Like, my theory is your second plate cannot be as big as your first plate. Like, if you are doing something in the cholesterol department, that I feel like it is going to be a problem. So that second plate has to be lighter, and it can't include everything from the first plate because then that would defeat the purpose. Because then you got damn working on that third plate. So did that. Kept it light, was able to, you know, work in the dessert by the end of the evening. But I was burnt out. I gave it the best that I got. You hear me? You hear me out there in the listening, folks listening into the Afterthought Podcast? This Thanksgiving, I gave all the energy and I ate all the vibe. So it was cool, man. The drinks. The family, the nieces, had the kids together. It was cool. It was cool. Yeah, man. Leftovers. Leftovers was cool. I mean, because that's the thing that I believe that is the most essential for the weekend is the leftovers. And I think, you know, in my house, we overcooked so we can have enough, you know, for, you know, the leftovers in the weekend and things like that. So it was solid, man. It was good. And here's my thing with the leftovers. When certain things start to run out, you know two things. Do I got to go back to regular food? Am I going to have to? Because once the greens run out, you like, shit. Oh, man. What do we do? And the mac. Because the mac is usually the shit that hangs around the longest, I feel. The macaroni and cheese and whether you got yams or sweet potatoes with the marshmallows. Them two things hang neck and neck, I believe. Depending on if you're in a black family, you know, you got the double pan. You know, if they double pan it, that means there's a lot in there. So the mac and the sweet potatoes hung neck and neck. The turkey, I mean, by far, first of all, we had to throw the rest out yesterday. It was getting out of hand. It's only so many turkey sandwiches and goddamn turkey tacos and goddamn eating the turkey from the damn oven pan. And I think that's the best. When you could just heat it up from the next day and you take a fork and you just go in right there, grab you a little piece right there. Thanksgiving turkey was on hit. at my residence Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving was dope. I hope everyone out there had a blessed Thanksgiving holiday weekend. You know, the most important part is family, you know, and I think that's the time where, you know, it's time. You know, it's holiday season. Christmas is coming up. You know, I'll throw this up in the polls. When is it a good time to get your tree? Okay. I think that's a question some folks are probably like, But think about it. Think about it. Is it too soon to get your tree? Some folks say the 15th of December. I mean, I know folks that get that it's going to get their tree this weekend, the first weekend. They're putting it up and they're letting it rot. I think for what we're doing here on the West Coast, I think we're going to get our tree next week. I got family in town the following week, so that's going to be fun. But yeah, I think we're going to decorate the front and the crib and do all that. So it's important for me this year. And I don't know if, you know, you listeners out there, or folks that support the show and my real Afterthought podcast listeners from day one. I don't know if you're into buying real trees. You know, the game has changed, you know. I come up in an era where, you know, you used to be able to get your tree in a box sent to your crib, or you could go pick it up from Target or Walmart or something of that nature. Now, though, out in California, the tree game has changed. Like, you literally gotta, you know, go see this man under the overpass, and he got like 85 trees, different heights, 3 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot. We need at least a 6 foot, 7 foot tree in my crib. So, you know, that's gonna run you about $85, $125 just for the tree. About $100, $125 just for the tree. Now, if it's your first year, you gotta buy a stand. I'm gonna just tell you now, I'm gonna warn you right now, you gotta buy a stand. Because what you just gonna stand the tree up in the corner and shit gonna fall. You need something to anchor it. And with these stands, you can put some water at the base. Not like it's like a basketball court where you're putting sand at the bottom. Calm down. It's nothing like that. But the good thing is you're only buying one stand and you have it for the next year. So I've graduated. I bought the stand last year, and now we're gonna use that again this year. But the tree will be a little cheaper this year since we're not buying the stand. But yeah. And when you have a real tree, you got to water that thing. You can't just be like a fake tree, just set it up. You got to quench the thirst of the tree. You got to water it periodically and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that holiday season. It's the season of giving, you know, giving back and what have you not. So, yeah, man. We back at it. And, yeah, holiday season. Lot going on. I got a chance to go see Wakanda Forever. Now, I'm going to just spoiler alert. I'm not going to spoil it too much. But what I will say, an amazing movie. And not an amazing movie in the sense like, was it better than one or was two better? It was just a solid movie put together. Again, Ryan Coogler does it again, puts together a movie, and for me, to see the African-American, black African-American, or however you want to phrase it, woman lead in this movie was dope. You know, we got to see that, so shout out to the whole cast, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever movie. And the way they show love to Chadwick Boseman, I think, was probably by far the most class act thing you could do. And the storyline, you know, without ruining it, playing off his death and, you know, finding out who will be the new king. The villain was dope. Namor. Those that know comic books know that he's a god of the sea. Some are more familiar with Aquaman, but no, Namor is a god, half human, half god. He was wrecking shit. I'm just going to let y'all know now. So, yeah, it was good, man. I'm just going, again, the way Ryan Coogler put that together and paid homage, showed love to the culture, and the actors and the cast and everybody in there. Like I said, it was a long movie. 2 hour and 41 minute movie. To took my little one to go see it, the 2-year-old Cam. He was excited. Started off strong. Came into the beginning of the previews. Locked and loaded, ate the popcorn. 10 minutes into the movie, this boy was asleep. Sleep, like throwing the towel. He's not waking up. This man woke up during the credits, and I'm not even talking about the pre-credit scene where you gotta wait to the end. He woke up after they turned the lights on. He gonna sit up talking about Black Panther. Boy, the movie's over. It's you're gonna have to see it in the house. But it was good. Got to show love, and things like that. And I must say, the movie theater, dining experience has been just changed over the years. You know, you went from popcorn, pretzel, candy, soda, slushy. These motherfuckers at AMC had Impossible Nuggets. Impossible goddamn Nuggets. We talking the Impossible Burgers? Yes, the Impossible Nuggets. Okay. You know, black menu, black background menu, white, red letters, like it was on some barista vibes. AMC is doing it right now. AMC got a cool, if you're on the East Coast, they got in Orange, New Jersey. I'm not sure if it's East or West or South Orange, New Jersey. They have the dine-in AMC movie theaters, and those are quite an experience. You get your own goddamn lamp, your own little end table. And a comfy kickback chair. So AMC's doing it. Had a good time. Enjoyed the movie. Wakanda Forever. Interested to see the next phase. Kang the Conqueror. Those that know comic books, you know Kang the Conqueror is coming through and he's smashing shit. You know, he's on some Thanos vibes times 1,000. You know. Thanos ain't got nothing on him. So it's another one of the movies where you got to wait 8 years to see it, but it's coming, and I'm excited to see how they tie in my guy Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom is big, tied into Marvel, and I'm looking to see how he crosses over into that. So overall, a good weekend. Ate good, drank good, saw Wakanda, hung out with the fam. I hope y'all's was good too. A lot of other news over the weekend. Tommy the Green Ranger, I don't know if you heard the news, took his own life and committed suicide last week. And it's just tough, man. Tommy the Green Ranger, just crazy, man. You know, first of all, you know, me coming up in the 90s, I must say, man, Tommy Oliver, to me, you know, I mean, come on, bro. You know, he was somebody that we all wanted to be. As if you watch Power Rangers and you knew, like, you was like, come on, man. Jason David Frank played Tommy Oliver, the Green Ranger. And those that know, for me, that was pivotal. Coming up in the Bronx in the early 90s, middle school, you know, getting out of school at 2:30. And if you know that the Power Rangers would come on at 2. And the walk home was like a 22-minute walk. So I would get home just in time every day for the scene when they went near Zords and, you know, battling out at the end. And it was a very iconic, man, series, franchise, whatever you want to call it. I remember when they came to Radio City, my grandmother took me to see a live-action Power Rangers. I don't want to say play, but it was an event. They was the characters, they used the screens, the stage stuff was blowing up. It was a whole vibe. This was before, I believe, you know, and I was interested, like, why didn't they bring that back? That type of stuff, live action stuff. I mean, they do it for Disney with like the Winter on Ice and, you know, things like that. And I feel like they should bring back some of the, I think I seen the Avengers. They did one pre-pandemic or during the pandemic. They was going to different arenas. Almost like a circus production, but more like live action tailored to the Avengers and the superheroes. And I thought that was dope. So, nah, man. Losing Tommy, the Green Ranger in real life was something that, you know, touched a lot of us, man. He was a part of the culture. He stuck around for a bunch of episodes too, man. In other news, Brittany Griner, still locked up. U.S. is still working on possibly doing a prisoner swap. But as of now, you know, she's facing 9 years in prison. If you follow the story, you know, she brought some vape oils into Moscow, and their drug laws are very strict. So, you know, she was processed, you know, sentenced to, 9 years in prison? Damn, for some cannabis oil? Shit, 9 years. But they don't play. They have their laws, and it is what it is. So, sending good energy to our sister, Brittany Griner, WNBA player. They say they got in one of the prisons, man, where, like, they got the guards sewing. they have the prisoners sewing the uniforms of the guards. Like crazy, man. You know, and her sleeping conditions, you know, as you know, she's about 6'8". I'm like, do they even have a bed that'll accommodate her in there? You know? So, hopefully it gets worked out. We get her home. Nobody should have to go through that, man. Especially, you know, it's crazy, man, the laws. But you know what? That's their laws. We got to respect it, you know, and we're not here to, you know, bash them. But it is excessive, you know, 9 years for some oil, you know. Shit, I've traveled with weed before. I mean, going on record. I mean, it's legal in certain, you know, cities and, I mean, states. So you can travel back and forth, but you still got to be careful in certain states. Like, I believe Kansas City, Ohio, certain cities, they don't allow that. But you just got to be careful. But listen, times are changing, and I'm hoping this is more like Moscow just doing this to be able to kind of use it as a way. You know, it's sad because, you know, wrong place, wrong time. She's in the middle of this whole, you know, Russia and the U.S., and it's just unfortunate. So sending some good energy to her and everything, man. But yeah, just a lot going on, man. But in the spirit of my sister Tiff, in the spirit of Ain't This Some Bullshit, our segment coined by our sister Tiff that she does, and she, you know, often talks about some bullshit. I saw something and I said I gotta bring this to the forefront. I saw Kraft and Heinz is being sued for Velveeta shells and cheese prep time. That's right. It ain't ready in 3.5 minutes like they say. According to the documents, Kraft Heinz has got a cheesy lawsuit on their hands, if you want to call it that. A woman claims a company misled customers about how much time it actually takes to cook mac and cheese. A Florida woman by the name of Amanda Ramirez filed a class action lawsuit against Kraft Heinz, claiming its Velveeta shells and cheese is not actually ready in 3.5 minutes as advertised. I don't know if she's saying it like that, but I just feel compelled to say it like that. Ramirez says that 3.5 minutes is only the amount of time the food has to go in the microwave. Basically, it takes 3.5 minutes to cook it. We ain't talking about what you gotta do after that. She claims it takes more time to actually prepare the meal. Don't forget, you gotta pour it into the cup. You gotta stir the cheese sauce. She doesn't even say how long it takes her, but it claims 4 steps listed in the directions. Remove the lid and cheese pour. Add the water, fill to the line, stir, microwave for 3.5 minutes, and then stir the cheese sauce. It doesn't equate to it actually being ready in the time that Kraft Heinz has basically put on the box. So she's claiming it's false advertising. She's looking to put together a class of customers who might also be upset about this prep time. It says the damages will exceed $5 million. We are aware. You know, it's funny because when you hear Kraft, they're like, we are aware of the frivolous lawsuit and will strongly defend against the allegations and the complaint. The company reported told USA Today. Yo, it's a pretty wild suit, though. I'm not even going front, though. I mean, shit. I mean, but that ain't that some bullshit? Like, that's almost like, whose man's, whose woman's is this, sis? You're doing too much. Oh, so that's that. Yeah, Velveeta is getting sued because apparently 3.5 minutes ain't enough. So yeah, man, I just want to check in with y'all. I hope all is well. What else we got coming up in the comedy world? I'm back out here in these comedy streets. I'm back on tour. This weekend, somebody's got to hear this tour. It's Rockin' and Rollin'. Dates are being added. I am in Rochester, Minnesota this weekend at Goonies Comedy Club. Rochester, about an hour outside of Minneapolis, literally. And I need my St. Paul people, my Minneapolis people, to pull up. Bloomington, show up, show out, come through, show me love. I got two amazing shows I'm headlining. It's a new club, and they just opened up, and you know they were closed down during the pandemic, so I'm glad to be one of the weekends coming back since they've been open about almost 2.5-3 months. So I'm looking forward to that. Pull up on me, come get a show, come support the merch, because you already know the merch is needed. Two shows. I got my guy Bruce Leroy featuring with me, a phenomenal comedian out of Minnesota, originally from Kansas City, and just a good brother. So he's going to be featuring both shows with me. So I'm looking forward to that. Next week, I will be in Campbell, California. That's right. I'm back at Prune Yard Cinemas with the Alameda Works comedy show powered by my guy, Jason Toops. I shot my comedy special there. It's ready. It's coming. Stay tuned for that. So I'm glad to be back doing four shows next weekend. And then, you know, we're going to be chilling out until Christmas. I got a holiday event coming. Top of the year, we'll be back in Minnesota at St. Paul Laugh Camp Comedy Club in St. Paul, Minnesota. So I'm looking forward to that. Then I'll be in Sacramento the weekend after that, the second week of January. So, yeah, I am moving and grooving, setting some things up. I'll be back in L.A. first week of February. And then second week of February, I will be in Washington at the Joker's Comedy Club. So I'm moving and grooving. We also got Toronto, Ontario coming up in the spring. I'm looking forward to get some things rocking and rolling. We also looking at the Stand in Honolulu, making a trip out there to Hawaii. So look, tell your people I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm hitting new places this year. I'm excited. New places is always good. Don't get me wrong. I love my circuit of clubs that show me love, but I will be back there in the later part of the year, and top of 2024. But we are exploring some new ventures, new opportunities. I'm excited. So do me a favor. Make sure you're following us, the Afterthought Podcast, myself, JP, Tiff Tonto, the whole crew. We're coming back. We just want to get these episodes back in the books. I've been holding it down, but I miss my squad, and they're going to be back soon. So I'm looking forward to that. Follow my Instagram. This is Joe Hill. Follow the tour. Show love. If I'm in your city, if you know somebody in the city that I'm in, let them know I'm coming. You ain't got to buy a ticket. Just share my shit. What he says? You want to know why I ain't famous? Because you ain't share my shit. Share my shit. Show love. It costs nothing to show love. It takes 2 seconds. So look, enjoy y'all day. Be good. Love y'all. And like I said, inspire somebody today. All right? Staff Thought Podcast. It's your man Joe Hill. I'm out of here. Peace.